Welcome to This Week I Learned, your audio guide to the most surprising discoveries and fascinating studies of the week. I'm your host, Lauren Hansen. This week I learned why the old good cop, bad cop routine works.
Look, I watch a lot of cop shows on TV. Isn't there supposed to also be a... Isn't there supposed to be a good cop?
Oh, yes. But we are not done yet.
Hi, buddy. I'm your friend.
It's not just a Hollywood trick. An effective good cop, bad cop routine can make a person mindlessly comply. The effects of that emotional swing is actually a phenomenon called the emotional seesaw phenomenon, and it is explored in a new paper in the Frontiers of Psychology. Basically, the back-to-back experience of the positive and negative emotions make people more easily persuaded than the experience of either type of emotion alone. Previous experiments found that an emotional seesaw made people more likely to give money, do charity work, or watch a stranger's luggage. But this new study wanted to dig a little deeper into the why. Researchers set up an emotional seesaw situation. They used a multiple choice quiz, and they had a control group and a focus group. The quiz for the control group was meant to elicit just one emotion, so the questions were either all easy or all hard. The quiz for the focus group switched back and forth between those two extremes. But then researchers really screwed with the focus group. For every question the focus group participants got wrong, they were rewarded with a small amount of money. If they got any question right, they got no money. This violated common sense expectations, which was meant to further encourage that emotional seesaw phenomenon. Then, after this emotional test, the focus group participants were approached by someone asking if they would sign their names to a petition. The petition, if they were paying attention, really had no point. Then the participants were asked to complete a questionnaire that asked them to recall information about that petitioner. Just as researchers thought, those who experienced the emotional seesaw were more likely to sign the senseless petition and less likely to question it. They also remembered less about that petitioner. Researchers say this shows that the emotional seesaw produces a mindlessness, where you don't really think too much about what's going on around you, and that mindlessness produces compliance. Basically, the good cop, bad cop routine depletes you cognitively. When your feelings are pulled in opposite directions, there's not a lot of attention left over to engage in whomever is trying to manipulate you, so you just give in. This week I learned that men also go through hormonal changes after becoming parents. It's long been known that hormones have a dramatic impact on the inner workings of a mother's brain. Recent research shows that the changes a woman's body goes through to produce a human alters the way their brains function for at least 2 years. Those changes to the brain, broadly speaking, are meant to prepare women for child rearing and to basically help them better care for these little needy blobs we call children. But a growing body of evidence suggests something similar may be happening in men. In a new study out of Emory University, researchers investigated the neurobiology behind fatherhood. Researchers focused on the hormone oxytocin. Oxytocin is known to play a role in social bonding, but it's largely considered a maternal hormone. Oxytocin is released into the bloodstream during labor and nursing, and it helps in birth and in bonding with the baby and in milk production. This new study wanted to understand the effects oxytocin had on healthy fathers of toddlers. Researchers hooked these men up to brain imaging technology and then gave them doses of oxytocin through a nasal spray. Then the men looked at a photo of their own child, a photo of a child they didn't know, and then a photo of an adult they didn't know. And they found that this oxytocin boost lit up in all the right places. While looking at pictures of their own kid, the oxytocin dad showed significantly increased neural activity in the parts of the brain associated with reward and empathy. This heightened activity suggests that oxytocin may increase these feelings of reward and empathy in fathers and may also boost their motivation to pay attention to their kids. Researchers believe this proves that fathers, not just mothers, undergo hormonal changes that likely help them care for their kids. This week I learned that fish communicate with their urine. All creatures have ways of communicating, and not all of them are vocal. And now we know that at least one species of fish sort of talks through the chemicals emitted in its urine. A new study out of Switzerland looked at a type of tropical fish called the cichlids. Researchers gathered a bunch of small cichlids and large cichlids and put them in a tank divided by a partition so that neither could interact physically. But there were different variations on this theme. Some partitions had tiny holes that allowed water to pass between the sides. Some partitions were solid, some barriers were opaque, and some were transparent. Researchers found that when fish could see each other, they raised their fins and approached each other in an aggressive manner, and they both emitted more urine than when they were not able to see the other fish. But interestingly, they also found that the fish's behavior changed depending on whether or not the urine came into their side. When the barrier was closed and tight, smaller fish tried to attack larger fish. When urine passed between the barrier, smaller fish yielded to the larger one. And the most interesting thing was that when the barrier was closed and no urine could pass through, that's when both fish expelled more urine. Apparently, aware that their message wasn't getting through, these fish kept expelling more and more urine, essentially yelling at one another, however fruitlessly. This week I learned that Earth might have an eighth continent. A new paper published in the Journal of Geological Society of America argues that our current list of seven continents is incomplete. In addition to North America, South America, Africa, Asia, Europe, Australia, and Antarctica, is an eighth continent called Zealandia. The trick is that Zealandia is mostly hidden from view. 94% of it is submerged under the Pacific Ocean. Geophysical data suggests the region is 1.9 million square miles, which is more than half the size of Australia. And what is poking out of the water are pieces of land already designated as New Zealand and the island of Caledonia. Today, New Zealand and the island of Caledonia don't have a continent. They are classified as part of Oceania, which is basically a catch-all for the non-continental parts of the world. But Zealandia is distinct. Its landmass is elevated relative to other parts of the ocean floor, and it is isolated from Australia. Satellite maps clearly show that Zealandia is a coherent geographical feature, and one that is structurally intact rather than a mashup of different continental crust fragments. The study's authors say that had it not been for that pesky water, Zealandia would have long ago been recognized as a continent. And it's not a new concept either. The idea of Zealandia has been around for at least two decades, but this is the first peer review paper that makes the case for its inclusion in the continental list. The problem is that there isn't an international body in charge of designated official continents. There also isn't a widely accepted definition of what a continent is. So, even if Zealandia is never made official, its existence can still contribute to the geographical, biological, and ecological understanding of the region. So that's something. And that does it for this episode of This Week I Learned. Look out for new episodes every Friday on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to read more about any of the facts I've mentioned or check out our other podcasts, including 7-Minute Opinions and 7-Minute Explainers, go to theweek.com/podcasts. And as always, if you like what you hear, spread the good word or kindly leave us a rating or review on iTunes. I'm Lauren Hansen, and thank you so much for listening.